Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayton Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayton Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, X, Instagram, and TikTok. And subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Now, let's get into the show.
Did we know this was gonna happen? We knew this was gonna happen.
Yeah, we did.
We knew it was gonna happen. We knew it was gonna happen. That, come on. Anybody's been a Padres fan for as long as I have, and I haven't even been a Padres fan for that long compared to a lot of people that call into our show. I mean, I've been a Padres fan since birth. I've only been on this planet for 30 years. But still, it's like, how many times have we seen the same dudes beat up on the Padres all the time? Used to be Padres.
You don't even need to be a fan of the Padres in order to understand this. You just need to be the fan of a team that is a historic loser. That's it. If you are a fan of any team, I don't care if it's New York, San Diego, if it's Montana. If you are the fan of a program or team that has a history of losing and not being good, this is, you just constantly sit and wait for the shoe to drop. That's what it is.
I love the, like, this is the funniest part. Like, again, the Nationals are not good. So, yes, it's a little frustrating that the Padres lost the Nationals. Again, talk to me on Thursday. If the Padres get swept by the Nats or lose 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, there's something you could say. All right, should have done better against that's a series you have to win. So we'll see what happens the next 2 days. I mean, the Padres could rake the next 2 days. What did we do every day of the Dodgers series? Every loss, trade everybody. Every win, get World Series tickets. Ridiculous. One of my friends texted me this. 100% spot on. Listen to this, Frank. You're going to laugh. Nationals beat the Padres on June 23rd, 2025, and therefore won the Juan Soto trade, is the dumbest argument I've ever heard. It is.
But it's the right one, Braden.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's right, though.
It was so dumb, and I agree, because this is like my reaction to what you sent me yesterday from Bernie Wilson, who writes to the AP, goes to the winning clubhouse, and the Nationals won yesterday. And Davey Martinez is like popping off about the deal, but now obviously it's his guys. He's going to brag about his guys. But it was just like major eye roll. They haven't done anything since 2022. They're not going to do anything for the next couple of years. And if the Padres' window to win is now, then for the Padres, it's a successful trade. If the Nationals window to win is later when these guys are in their prime. And then they do, then they win their side. I mean, it's not that big of a deal with the trades. Remember, back on August 12th, 2022, Frank, Padres beat the Nationals. That means we won the Soto trade in 2022.
I think it was 2023, I remember, because I was working the games and went on a rant.
When Rougned Odor hit the home run in Washington?
No, when they were playing, when the Padres were playing the Nationals, I remember I was working the games and I went in the back room and did a rant about it. We got swept out of four by the Nationals. I think that was in 2023 and people weren't talking like this.
That had to have been at home.
It was.
Well, I remember because they were struggling, like Rougned Odor was struggling. I was flying to New York because the Padres had the Yankees the next series.
No, that was at the end of the year. That was in April. Or that was in August or September.
The Yankees series?
No, the
Nationals series. That's when they were at home then, because yeah. Rougned Odor hit a home run late. They bought himself 2 weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We were watching on the plane, and that was it. They beat the Nationals in Washington on a Rougned Odor home run. Dylan Cease no-hit him last year.
Yes.
Padres win the trade. That's Juan Soto. Isn't that part of the Juan Soto deal, technically?
So it's...
They traded Soto. They got Drew Thorpe. They traded Thorpe for Cease. Cease no-hitter. Won the trade. I'm not doing this every time the Padres play the Nationals.
I was going to say, so what you're saying is if the Padres beat the Nationals tonight, then they won the Soto trade.
Yes.
There you go. So there you go. Love
Based
the logic.
Based on Winsock logic. Yes. Don't be a Winsock. Do you know it's the name of my OTL team? Brady Soprano's yes. Winsocks?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Said that last week, I believe.
I've officially put that in. We have four teams out there now that are presented by the Brady Soprano Show, all with clean names on purpose. It's going to be fun. Speaking of Winsocks, come to OTL. Yes, July 12th. We will be out there. I will be out there. I don't know if Frank's showing up yet, but I will be out there on July 12th. We have blue and pink shirts, OTL shirts. I have extra. If you have an OTL team and you want to wear the shirts, let me know. And DM me your sizes. I will bring you said shirt. I will not bring you Frank's shirt. Frank gets his own. You want pink or blue or both?
Hell, if both is an option, I'll take both.
I might have enough for both. I might not. You might just get the blue. But I got brown and gold ones coming too.
I mean, I'm comfortable enough with who I am to take a pink shirt. That's fine with me.
The pink shirt's a little bit more popular than I thought it was going to be. I literally made the pink shirt for just Sam because he loves pink. And then I had to order extra and everybody else wants the pink one. So
I'm comfortable enough with who I am. I'll take a pink shirt.
Fine it's nice. Me. It's pink and blue. It's pretty sweet.
There you go.
I think I have a copy of it somewhere. I'll send it to you. You could post on the stream. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We're going to talk about this Fernando thing here in a second. But let's get back to the phones. Mike and Ramona, you're on the Brayden Soprano Show. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Brayden. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. I'm doing better than a 10-6 loss last night. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. Hey, I was just calling to say, you know, there's a quote with Darvish. I mean, he skips half the season last year for some mysterious personal problem, and he's one of our, you know, formidable starters. And then this year, I mean, it's not like he's coming off Tommy John surgery or something. If he doesn't want to play, why don't we just buy him out, Brayden, and let him hang him up and go do what he wants to do? And that.
Well, Mike, see, he has had Tommy John surgery. It was 10 years ago. He surgically repaired his elbow. That particular elbow is giving him problems. So, kind of. Do you want him to go beat Denelson Lamet? Or Mike Clevenger? It's not like he doesn't want to play. I mean, he knows his body. There's nobody on this Padres team I would trust to know about himself more than you, Darvish. And the thing with you, Darvish, at his age, I need him to be like at full strength in October. And at his age, if he goes makes it through the entire season, he's going to get worn down and not be there for October. So if he feels good, like September, like whatever, I didn't even October. I don't really care about him in the regular season. Even though they didn't win last night with Stephen Kolek, they can win with Stephen Kolek and Randy Vasquez and piece together games, and you're just kind of weathering the storm until you get closer to the end where you can really put on the gas. Darvish took a pay cut in that deal, which he went on the list where he wasn't going to get paid. I mean, he's guy's a team player. I'm not going to dog you, Darvish. He will be here when he's here. And he's here in the dugout and stuff. So it's not like he's not helping the team. I mean, having you, Darvish, back there is like having an extra pitching coach. It's crazy. Wow. Rod is at Point Loma Seafood. That's a good call on a day like today. Is it sunny down there, Rod? Might be a little socked in. I tell you what, Point Loma Seafood, it's not the lunchtime hour yet. Rod has his lunchtime hour in the 11 o'clock hour. I need him to have it in the noon hour. You know what I get at Point Loma Seafood? You ever been to Point Loma Seafood? You're a picky eater.
I'm not a big seafood guy. Like, I'll have like fried calamari and clams and stuff like that.
Well, I have a surprise for you, Frank.
Oh, boy.
You like sourdough bread, Frank?
Yeah, I'll take it.
What about tartar sauce?
Yeah, we're pushing it now.
They got a sloppy squid sandwich at Point Loma Seafood.
Okay.
Toasted sourdough, fried calamari sticks, tartar sauce, sandwich.
Okay.
Good stuff, dude.
Have my attention.
Yes. Nothing like a sloppy squid sandwich from Point Loma Seafood. They got other stuff there, too, but that's kind of the go-to. And now, that being said, I want to know if Rod is a local or not when it comes to the parking situation at Point Loma Seafood. Have you ever been down? You haven't been down there?
No, I don't go to Point Loma often. If I do, it's usually to Shelter Island.
Go to the airport, pick people up at the airport, Liberty Station.
Well, no, Shelter Island's a very nice
Shelter
place
Island
to go
is
to.
Nice. It's a good date spot.
As I've heard.
The parking there is like there's one side lot that's rough, but people are moving in and out of there all the time. Locals know, just wait. It will open up soon. Don't panic. I've been at a Point Loma Sea for a long time. You know what I like doing in the fall? Since I don't have a football team to root for anymore on Sundays. September, October, great weather in San Diego. Go down to Point Loma Seafood and get yourself a sloppy squid sandwich. Just enjoy the afternoon. What if a guy has a day?
Not a bad thought.
Not a bad thought at all. Yes, Brock, he does need to go to Kraft Taco. And I will ask him if he has gone again at noon, as is tradition on the show. All right, we had some issues with Fernando in a deal a couple of years ago in which this came about. It was an article in 2018 that Ken Rosenthal talked about. Fernando kind of praised the idea. Anybody that read that article was like, he did what? Well, now he's actively suing this particular deal. We're not going to get in the legalities of everything. We're going to give you all the information of what Fernando's dealing with here in a lawsuit that got released yesterday from Dennis Lynn in The Athletic and CBS 8. I saw them post it as well. We'll tell you everything you need to know about this, what Fernando put out in a statement, and that's pretty much all you need to know about that because that's what we do with legalities on this show. We'll talk about the legalities with Fernando when we come back on the Braden Soprano Show on San Diego Summer Sports Station 97.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Through the fan. I'm not going to give too much of an opinion on it, but I'm just going to lay out what exactly is going on. Our baseball coverage on 97 Through the Fans, presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Let's talk about this for a second. Does anybody remember when this happened in 2018? I do. And I have my thoughts on this. I'm not going to sit here and judge because I don't understand, or I'm not in the situation, right? So what happened was in 2018, I'm going to paraphrase. What happened was in 2018, when this article came out, it described how Fernando, coming out of the Dominican Republic, and a company called Big League Advanced Fund. So Big League Advanced Fund is a company that doesn't necessarily give out loans, but kind of. So what they do is they give a young player, like a teenager, or a brand new player. Now, most of the time, it's Latin players. They write them a check for like $300,000 up to $1 million, whatever it is. There's a bunch of different deals. And what they do is they give them a check to guarantee them some money that they can use to better themselves to get to the major leagues, or use as kind of a insurance policy if they don't make it to the major leagues. So a lot of these, you know, kids growing up poor that are really good players that might not make it to the top, they have a guaranteed money that could change their life. So, and I don't know the exact number as we get to this lawsuit here, but Big League Advance gave Fernando X amount of dollars. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. You have to look it up. Fernando took that money, and in the 2018 article described to Ken Rosenthal, and he was all for it at the time. He took the money that he was given to get better nutrition, get a personal trainer, have a better place to live, to make himself better for the future. Now, in doing so, what Big League Advanced Fund does is they give out the loan, and if that player that takes the loan, because it's kind of a loan, but not really, if that player takes that loan and they make it to the majors, they owe this company 10% of all future earnings. So, according to the lawsuit, representatives from Big League Advanced Fund agreed to front the then baseball prospect, Fernando, $2 million in exchange for a loan on his future earnings. It requires Fernando to pay the company 10% of his future earnings, which means tens of millions of dollars in returns for Big League Advanced Fund. If Fernando did not make the majors, he would owe this company nothing. That's part of the deal. So that's why it's not really a 100% alone. So there's a couple of players that might have taken some money, but didn't make the majors. They get to keep the money. water off a duck's back. But obviously, like any bank would do, they would vet who the person is. When you go take out a loan for a business and you pitch the business idea to the bank and it's something ludicrous, they're not going to like give you $2 million for it. But you look at a guy like Fernando and the pedigree that he has and the talent that he has, like, oh yeah, we'll give you $2 million because we know this guy's going to make a fortune. And so 10% of all future earnings goes to them. That's why the whole, you know, the contract that he signed, the $350 million contract, whatever it was, and when they signed this, this is what came out. And we talked about this on the air. Not only was that take about half out for taxes, they get a percentage of the pre-tax contract. So before Fernando gets his paycheck, right? And this is before the PEDs where he lost even more money and the endorsement money he might have lost. So he gets paid. He's got to take 10% of what he got paid on the game, whatever it is, send that to Big League Advance Fund. Then he's got to pay taxes on the money. I mean, it's just like it starts lowering down to a certain level for Fernando. It's not the $350 million whatever he signed for. So that was the deal. Now, Fernando is now suing this company. He says it's, you know, and here's the direct quote. Defendants have built a business model that preys on young, financially unsophisticated athletes, offering lump sum advances in exchange for significant portions of their future earnings. Fernando Tatis Jr., an 18-year-old minor league baseball player in 2017, was targeted by defendants and ensnared by their predatory tactics. Lured by promises of immediate payment, plaintiff was fraudulently induced to sign an income share agreement through material misrepresentations and omissions. Such advance could be a student loan where a student agrees to repay a fixed percentage of a student's future gross income after graduation, or as in the case where an 18-year-old Dominican athlete still learning English signs a document committing to pay 10% of his future earnings over the life of his career, here amounting to more than 1,700% of the sum advanced in 2017. In a statement, Padres star outfielder outlined his reasoning for filing the lawsuit. Quote, I'm fighting this battle not just for myself, but for everyone still chasing their dream and hoping to provide a better life for their family. I want to help protect those young players who don't yet know how to protect themselves from these predatory lenders and illegal financial schemes. Baseball should be about passion of the game, not dodging shady businesses driven only by profit and greed. According to the lawsuit, former professional baseball player turned CEO of Big League Advance Fund, Michael Schwimmer, wooed Tatis when he was 18 years old. He took plaintiff to dinner with multiple other parties associated with BLA. The dinner took place at a restaurant, creating an informal setting that contrasted with the significant financial commitment being proposed. During the dinner, Schwimmer and the BLA representatives focused primarily on the promise of providing Tatis Jr. with quick access to a large sum of money. They did not discuss the nature of BLA's business, the legal implications of the proposed agreement, or the fact that BLA and the BLA fund were not licensed as finance lenders in California or any other jurisdiction. See, that's where the big problem ensues. According to the lawsuit, Schwimmer described the $2 million payout as an investment and not a loan. Big League Advance website paints a much different story than the one presented by Tatis Jr.'s attorneys. The website describes its work as partnering with athletes to assist them in achieving their dreams and making it to the pinnacle of their sport by providing the resources they need to focus capital, a professional network, philanthropic, and analytical support. In a 2022 article with CBS Sports, Schwimmer outlined Big League Advance business model through Schwimmer's conversation with a football prospect. The money is yours. There's no payback. Quote, there's only stipulations. There's no fine print if you don't make it. The article later quoted Schwimmer as saying, we're in the same financial position as an agent. You sign 10 guys, 2 make it, 8 don't. You're making a ton of money. interesting to see where this lawsuit goes. I think there's a lot of bad things on both sides here. Obviously, he agreed to a contract. And according to the contract, it's going to be hard to get out of said contract that he agreed to regardless if he was 18 or not. At the same time, I mean, this is very much a, seems a little shady. But we talked about this in 2018 when the Ken Rosenthal article came out. And now Fernando Tatis Jr. is suing said company. This company has been sued before. In fact, Francisco Mejia sued this company because he fell victim to the same thing. Again, signed the contract. And he ended up dropping the lawsuit. So I don't know where this goes. I don't know if this is something that's been impacting Fernando over the last couple of weeks or so, handling all of this. But when asked about it yesterday, he had no further comment. Again, he pointed to his statement. This is going to be interesting to pay attention to over the next, obviously, years of whenever how long this takes. But it's interesting that this is coming back. And if you go back and read Ken Rosenthal's article in 2018, Fernando's tone was a little bit different. I mean, he was like buying into the decision that he made. I think a lot of us questioned it at the time. And this is happening for a lot of other potential players in the future. Again, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot to unpack with this. And this came down yesterday in our show. But obviously it makes a lot of money with, you know, the company. I mean, loaning out hundreds of thousands of dollars and maybe like $1 million. And they only have to pay it back if they make the major leagues. I mean, I can see how you can highly manipulate kids for doing this. But at the same time, I mean, there's fault on both sides. That's a contract you shouldn't be signing. And you ask the question, well, where's some of his advisors? I don't know the situation. I don't know what Fernando's situation was at the time. That will be decided in court. But that's everything you need to know about the lawsuit between Fernando and Big League Advance. Now, whether or not California, because this was filed in the state of California, in the county of San Diego, the fact that they're an unlicensed company in the state of California, I don't know if that's going to be a factor or not, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And we'll get you updates on it if we see any of it. When we come back, a lot to talk about when it comes to the San Diego Padres. We will not discuss this with AJ Casville. Obviously, there's not a lot going on with it other than what Fernando, what we just laid out for you. Talk about the potential trade deadline, what happened last night, and everything you know about the San Diego Padres. AJ Casville of MLB.com joins us next on the Brayden Soprano Show. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, MLB.com's AJ Casavell. It covers the Padres, been doing it for a long time, and of course, the multi, and I don't have the graphic in front of me. I'd have to look at his Twitter, but he has won the wiffle ball tournament for the Cassville wiffle ball tournament many times. He's tried to defend his title, I think, this summer or maybe in the fall. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I'm sure AJ can fill us in, but I do have to mention the wiffle ball skills of AJ Cassaville every time he comes on. AJ, what's going on, man?
13-time wiffle ball champion, looking to defend my crown on, I think, August 9th, whatever that weekend is, right after the trade deadline. So hopefully we're up to 14 by then.
All right. Well, let's hope that's the case, because, you know, as you might be the reigning champion, we can't not have you. If you aren't the reigning champion, we might have to go with whoever wins the Cassaville tournament to help out the show.
We got some pretty knowledgeable baseball fans in my family. They would probably not do a bad job. But for now, I'll take that mantle.
Let's. I do want to ask about the College World Series. You got to go and experience baseball as a fan for the first time in a long time. We talked about it before you went out there and went as a fan. How was your experience going to Omaha, and how was it like to watch a baseball game and not have to write on it?
Well, the second part was my favorite part. It reminds me, not that I need a reminder. I mean, I obviously love the sport, but it reminds me, like, part of why everyone loves it as much as they do. It's really, really just a fun experience. I would say, like, anyone who gets the opportunity to do it, if there's any reason for it, and it's like the first weekend of that tournament, because there's 8 different fan bases from all over the country coming in, like, just do it. It's such a cool bucket list item. It was as fun as I thought it would be, perhaps even funner. And it was like, I don't know. I have one of my best friends from college moved to Omaha 8 or 9 years ago. He's been telling me to go every year, and he was moving this year. And so this is my last chance to do it with a place to stay. And I took that weekend off and went. And it's just a big weekend long, I guess probably 10-day long. I was only there for the first 2 days. But it's just a big baseball party. And really fun environment. I don't think even fans of losing teams, I don't think anyone's having a bad time. The baseball is exciting. It's different. If you're a major league, if you cover the majors and you watch, I don't know, 130, 140 games a year like I do, like, it's different. It's not as clean, and it gives you, I guess, a heightened respect for what big leaguers do, but it's also kind of exciting to see these guys playing for the biggest prize in their sport and maybe not playing the same kind of game that we watch every single night. So it's a little reprieve from what I'm used to, and maybe a little more bunting, a little more deking, a little more pitchers with funky deliveries that haven't been honed yet. I enjoyed the heck out of it, and anyone who gets the chance to do it, I would highly, highly recommend.
Something that's on my bucket list. The next time the Frogs make it, I'll probably make my way out there. If they do, I've missed many years in a row in which they've been able to make it to Omaha. AJ Cassaville, MLB.com, joining us right now on the Brayden Soprenant Show. Let's talk about the Padres. Obviously, last night, a little bit of a clunker, but over the last, like, week or so, you know, the biggest storyline for most of the season has been Xander Bogaerts and the lack of production. You know, there's been some cases of, you know, players are talking about the work he puts in and everything that he does to try to get better results, and nobody is bothered by it more than Xander. As of late, he started to turn it on a little bit. Last night, was 0-for-3, but 11-for-19 over a last couple of days stretch. What's been the biggest difference for Xander?
I think a couple things. It's hard to really pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, it's partly just baseball being weird, I think. And Mike Schilt has overstated just how unlucky Xander Bogaerts has gotten. Like, he likes to say it's just been a product of bad ball luck, and it's clearly been more than that. Like, Bogaerts has not been very good, but he hasn't gotten lucky. The numbers indicate that he has been, the numbers in terms of bad ball data and how hard he's hitting it and what he's doing indicate he's been slightly better than what he was, but still bad. And so then all of a sudden last week, I think it was last Wednesday, he didn't take batting practice. And he says that maybe only twice in his career has he not taken batting practice before a game. This is maybe like the third time. And that's a, I think, 11, 12, 13 year career. And all of a sudden he goes out, gets a game tying double, then racks up, I think, like 8 hits and 9 at-bats, and all of a sudden he's on this tear. So maybe that's what it is. Just doesn't need to be taking batting practice. I think he says it's more a product of him feeling more connected at the plate, that front shoulder staying in a little better. I don't know what tweaks he made to make that happen, but like when he's going poorly, we all know what he does. He hits those kind of slow grounders to third, grounders to short, and he's kind of just pulling off it. With his swing, he doesn't look like that right now. He looks like connected, and he's hitting line drives kind of wherever they're pitched. He's not that low and away. The low and away slider doesn't become a 5-3. It becomes a single to right, and that's what Xander Bogaerts is when he's going at his best. And if the Padres can get this going forward, that would obviously be huge for them, because I'll say it, people want to talk about Xander Bogaerts' value in the context of his contract, and I understand that. He's not going to live up to the numbers on that contract. That's just the reality. Like he's not going to be that kind of player. But if Xander Bogaerts can be a 740 OPS shortstop with the defense he's played this year, which despite all the struggles at the plate, he's been outstanding defensively. That's still a good player on a good team. Like that's above average what you're getting from most shortstops on most teams. And I think that, like that should be the baseline. Shouldn't be living up to the contract. The baseline should be how do you get the most out of what Xander Bogaerts is, and I think he could be that guy.
AJ Casville, MLB.com, joining us on the Brayton Soprenet Show, talking everything Padres right now. Padres in the midst of the series against the Washington Nationals. A big topic of discussion every time the Padres play the Nationals is, you know, because fans like to know about winning trades and losing trades. The Juan Soto trade, and a lot of pieces in the Juan Soto trade last night burned the Padres. Overall, from many times that we've had to talk about this from people in the organization and that you've talked to, how did the Padres evaluate how that trade has worked out? Do they still believe that it was something that they would do not more times than not? Or do you think the Padres are having a little bit of remorse of or maybe buyer's remorse on potentially selling some of these guys?
I know this isn't going to like make fans happy, but I don't think they regret it. I think they knew exactly what they were giving up, exactly the potential of the pieces they were giving up, and they knew that they were getting Juan Soto. And so there's regret. There's, like, obviously regret. But the regret isn't that they traded James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore for Juan Soto. The regret is that they didn't win in 2022, 2023, 2024. Like, are we looking back at this differently? If the Padres – those, in my opinion, all three of those teams – had a ceiling that was winning the World Series. And 2022, 2024, obviously, because those teams were very close to actually doing so. 2023, that roster was as good as any of the other two teams, and just, like, I don't need to rehash all the things that went wrong that season. But they built a team that had a World Series ceiling for those three seasons and didn't win. And I don't know how much, like, if any of that gets put on Juan Soto. Like, the 2024 season obviously wasn't there, but they got Dylan Cease and Michael King with Juan Soto. So my question is, like, how are we framing this differently if the Padres one of those years make that run and win it? And, like, in all honesty, they did make some pretty solid playoff runs and give the fan base some pretty high highs in the postseason, just without that final reward. So anyway, I guess it's a long way of saying, like, I don't view trades in terms of, like, winning the trade and losing the trade when they are this nuanced. Like, the Padres won the Tatis trade. They lost the Trey Turner trade. Those are, I think we can look at those trades and say that's a win, that's a loss. This one is a team that had a chance to win a World Series, trying to maximize that chance at the expense of its future in 2025 and beyond. And they did maximize that chance by trading for Juan Soto. They didn't maximize that chance maybe with some other things that went wrong. Like, who the heck knows? 2022, some pitching strings are pulled differently in the postseason, or if Fernando Tatis Jr. is available in the postseason, maybe they do it. None of that has anything to do with Juan Soto. Last year, they have Michael King and Dylan Cease in the rotation, and if Joe Musgrove doesn't blow out his elbow in game two of the wild card series, maybe they go on and do it, and we'd look back on that trade a lot differently. It's the long way of saying, I think people are going to talk about the Padres having lost the trade, and I just do not see it that way. I think they made a move that at the time gave them a better chance to win, knowing what the cost would be, and now they're just paying that cost.
I totally agree with you, AJ. As we talked about earlier on in the show, talking Padres baseball, AJ Casville from MLB.com covers the Padres on a daily basis, 15 seasons at MLB.com. Pitching wise, for the Padres, obviously Michael King and Yu Darvish are on the injured list. Hopefully, to getting them back soon would be great. What's the latest that we have on those two potential players?
Yeah, more clarity on Darvish than King, but at least King is starting to, I wouldn't say ramp up his throwing, but he's starting to throw a little more. As of right now, that's still just part of like a keep the arm moving. It's not part of any build-up or throwing progression. I think we'll learn more when King starts attacking a throwing progression to get back. Don't know when that'll be. We talked to him recently, and he kind of seemed to indicate that like with nerve issues, it's tricky, but it takes time and rest to recover. And based on the track record of players with other nerve issues, granted, like this specific nerve, I believe the long thoracic nerve, it's not an injury that occurs in major league pitchers, so there's not like a specific timetable for a recovery. But with other nerve issues, you look back, I think Parker Meadows had one in his bicep, and he was back in 2 months, so 2 months from the time of the injury. So like it's just a rest thing, and once that nerve fires and he gets the strength in his shoulder, the shoulder is structurally sound, which is the important part. So long way of saying, don't know when King's coming back, but I think there's reason for optimism. As for Darvish, a little more clarity there. He is going to throw another simulated game. He's going to face hitters again on Wednesday. His last one was 2 innings. I would assume this next one goes to 3 innings. Maybe you're looking at 4 innings in a rehab environment in the following time after that. And then who knows? That could set him up for a pre-All-Star break return if all goes well. But that might be assuming a lot given the fact that Darvish has slowed his recovery before when he's maybe felt some soreness in that elbow. So I think Darvish, I think a reasonable timeline is sometime in July. Just not entirely sure when.
Last question for you, HA, and it's obviously the trade deadline's a very fun time for Padres fans over the last couple of years when you got AJ Preller pulling the strings, and he usually goes after and sometimes grabs players that you didn't even know were available. What's the latest that we have on the Padres deadline? I mean, I think we can safely assume that they are buying unless something catastrophically happens, but it sounds like they're shopping for a left fielder or a catcher. What's going on the trade deadline front for AJ Preller?
Yeah, they have a lot of holes on this team, and that's we talked earlier about the window the Padres had in 2022 to 2024, and my question is, like, is that window still open? And looking at the roster as it currently is constructed, I don't think it is, but I think the avenue for it to be still open is there. Like, they need to get another bat. They probably need to get another starter. Catcher, I think those are hard to find and can be expensive. If you have those guys in the number 9 spot, Maldonado and Diaz, but you can bolster your bench and you can bolster your left field situation, then you can probably appropriately pinch hit for them and maybe mitigate some of their offensive struggles or deficiencies. But catcher is a need. I think they're going to look to address all those things. I don't know if they can swing for the fences like they have in the past, just given the prospects that they've traded away and who they have right now. But I don't think they need to swing for the fences. I think there's left fielders available. Left field is a position. It's not shortstop. It's not center field. It's easier to find, and it's easier to find someone who can just plug in there. That's their biggest need. I think they don't need a front line starting pitcher, but they could use someone who could cover innings at the back end. That's their second biggest need. And then I think it's a mishmash of getting another bat, maybe looking at the catcher market, seeing if it's something there. And you can always add a reliever, I think, too. So a lot of needs. I don't think any of them are of the blockbuster variety, but this is AJ Preller, so I will never, ever rule that out.
Never can rule that out with AJ. AJ, we appreciate the time. As always, look forward to talking again. See you at the ballpark tomorrow.
All right, great. See you there, Braden.
AJ Cassaville, MLB.com, San Diego Padres beat reporter, giving us the updates on the San Diego Padres. Trade deadline's going to be interesting. Sounds like the Padres are going to be buying. We'll talk about that as it progresses. It's time for Frank's Sports Thread.
You know that group chat, the one that's always blowing up with the biggest sport breaking news?
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me!
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top 5 stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh, no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
All right, Frank, what's going on in the non-Padres world?
A lot going on in the non-Padres world, as a matter of fact.
Number one.
The Indiana Pacers dropped Game 7 of the NBA Finals on Sunday night, and one of the stories coming out of the game was Tyrese Halliburton's Achilles injury. Halliburton had surgery to repair his ruptured Achilles yesterday and wrote a lengthy emotional post on Twitter afterwards. Halliburton was already playing with a strained calf in Game 6 and 7 and had been... And it said about playing injured, quote, I'd do it again and again after that to fight for this city and my brothers. Halliburton is expected to miss the entirety of the 25-26 season. Will Halliburton stick to his word, or was this an emotional plea from a 25-year-old?
But I play for through injury all
yep.
the time?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. I mean, it's the finals, right? Like, you can't... I mean, if he's not going to play there... When is he ever going to play? I mean, that's when you want to be out at your best. And him at 50% was still better than probably what was behind him. So he did it to try to win for the city. Unfortunately, it made it worse. And now he's going to sit out most of next year, if not the entire year. It's the gamble they took. And you know what? He'd be considered a hero if they won. And they didn't win.
Yep, absolutely.
Number two.
The Arizona Diamondbacks cannot keep away from the injury bug this season as another superstar has gone down for them. It was announced a few weeks ago that prized free agent signing Corbin Burnes was done for the year with Tommy John surgery, and now Corbin Carroll has been placed on the 15-day IL with a broken wrist. Carroll was injured last Wednesday when he was hit by a pitch in Toronto. All of this being bad enough before Eugenio Suarez was taken out of last night's game after being hit in the hand. Could mounting injuries force Arizona's hand at the trade deadline?
I think it could, because we discussed this off air. They got a lot of impending free agents that are playing really, really well. And if you're a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, you're going to lose a lot of these players at the end of the season. And you have three teams in front of you in the standings, and you're playing around 500. They could get a lot back for all of these players at the trade deadline. I mean, if they flood the market, I think that's good news for the Padres, even though the Padres might not be able to trade with Arizona, because Arizona doesn't like trading with the Pods. Floods the market, all of a sudden, all the other players become a little bit more affordable. So we'll see where the Diamondbacks decide to go. But if you look at they got a young roster that they can build around with some prospects that are close. If they can get some prospects that are close, it's not a bad deal for them to potentially sell.
Number three.
From the world of I hate you, but I have to do my job, comes an update about the Oklahoma A's. Yesterday was a big day for Rob Manfred, John Fisher, and, well, nobody else, as the A's broke ground on their brand new $1.75 billion, it's billion with a B, dollar stadium. And the A's say the stadium will, quote, no doubt be ready for the 2028 season as planned. The distinguished pairing of Manfred and Fisher stood in front of a We Are Vegas's Team banner like a bunch of dopes, neglecting the fact that the Golden Knights play there and have actually won something. Am I the only person outside of Oakland whose name is not Damon Amendolara who is sickened by all of this going on?
I'm sickened by it too. I just think it's Spanos 2.0.
Yeah, 100%
with everything like that. I just love the fact they broke ground and there's still like financial issues. They'll deal with it later, is what they said in that article. They still don't have it fully funded yet. So what are they going to do? Start the project and then get it shut down because they run out of money?
It's the A's way, though.
Oh, my God.
It is the A's way to
do
something.
I mean, talk
like
about
that,
building a billion-dollar stadium on a budget, I guess. I wonder how many corners they cut.
We are Vegas' team, you bunch of morons.
We are Vegas' team. Not the organization that started in Vegas. The only org that started in Vegas that has won a Stanley Cup. Not that organization.
Made it to the Stanley Cup their first year of existence.
Not that team. We're talking about the team that's moved 1,000 times. They're Vegas. lunchtime hour when we come back. Anybody mind if Rod has a day?
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Supranet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP. On Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Thanks again for listening. I'll catch you guys next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.